Today's daf is daf Kuvav 106. And as we've been learning throughout the different Mishnayos of this Perek, the Mishnayos were dealing with the meanings of different phrases of sale. If the seller said, at the very beginning of the Perek, Beis kur afar ani mocher lecha. I'm selling you 30 sa of afar. Afar means dirt. In other words, I'm selling you 30 sa that's plantable, that's can be used. So then big ditches or big boulders were not included. If he said ki beis kur afar ani mocher lecha, about a beis kur, then big ditches are included. Then we learned if he said I'm selling to you a base core of dirt, and it's going to be measured precisely. That if there's any bit of it that wasn't measured precisely, in other words, he over-delivered a little bit, he under-delivered a little bit, there has to be an adjustment in the price. If the seller said, base core of ani mochalacha hin pachos hin yeser, if he said, I'm selling you a base core of plantable stuff, but maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. And if there's a little bit of over-delivery or a little bit of under-delivery, the price would still stand. But if there'd be 7.5 kav, more than 7.5 kav of over-delivery, so then there would be an adjustment in price. If there'd be 9 kav of over-delivery, then that would be given back to the seller. Then the Mishnayos talked about a seller who says, Beis kor afer ani mocher lecha, both hein pachos hein yeser and mida bechevel. Benana says we take the last phrase. Then, and the Chachamim we said in the Gemara say it's a safek. Rav says if it's a safek, it's chokin, you divide it. Shmuel said if it's a safek, we leave it in the hands of the muchzak. So now we have our Mishnah. A person who says to his friend, I'm selling to you beis kor afar ani mocher lecha. I'm selling you a beis kor that's plantable. And he says to him, Bisiman of Uva Mitzarev, here you are standing with me, you see it. Here are the landmarks, here are the boundaries. So he didn't say Beis Kur Afar precisely with ropes. He didn't say Beis Kur Afar estimate. He said Beis Kur Afar, that's right here in front of us. Here it is, here are the landmarks. What you see here, that's what I'm selling you. So now, by saying you're seeing it, it's basically saying, and you'll accept it the way it is. On the other hand, the fact that he said it's a base core, it's 30 sa, it means it has to be 30 sa. If the way it is not 30 sa, there's a problem. So now the Mishnah comes up with a new idea. If the seller said he's selling a base core and he's standing over that field and he identifies the field, so if it's pachos shtos, if the field is a sixth less than a beis kor, then higiyu, then it's still bought. But ad shtos, if it's anything down to a sixth, more and down to a sixth, let's say it's a quarter, a fifth, a half, or a sixth, but down to a sixth more, or down to a sixth missing, Yinake, he has to subtract from the purchase price accordingly. So, the Mishnah doesn't tell us what's the law with the sixth, that we'll see in the Gemara, but what the Mishnah says like this, it's not the law of Onah, as we've learned before. Onah means immovables. If I overcharge, if I undercharge, the deal stands if the difference was less than a sixth. Even if it's a sixth, the deal stands, I just have to pay back the overcharging. If it's more than a sixth, the deal is reversed. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is that when a person sells, and when selling, he shows the field that he's selling. So on the one hand, he defines the field. He says it's a base core. But then he showed what it was that he was selling. I'm selling you this field, with these boundaries, this base core. So now, by saying this field, and these boundaries, and showing them to the buyer, it's like he's telling the buyer, this is what you're getting as is. This is what you're getting, whether it's perfect, not perfect, you're getting this. If the buyer agreed, the buyer knew that's what he was getting. So that fact that he showed it to him, and he said, if you're getting this, and these boundaries, and this fence, So that means the buyer is accepting it the way it is, whether it's a little bit smaller, a little bit larger than it should be. The buyer accepted it. So that's on the one hand, because he identified it to him, because he showed him the boundaries. On the other hand, he did say it's a base core. So it can't be way off of a base core. So here the sages come up with a new number. So beforehand, we saw that if somebody said, I'm selling you a base core, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. So the differential could be a 7.5 kav. The differential could be one rova per sa'a, 1/24 of every individual plot. Now we're saying the differential could be much more than 1/24. We're saying in this case, as long as the differential is up to a sixth, the deal works. Now let's just review a little bit of math. A base core is 30 sa'a. Every sa'a is 6 kav. And every kav is 4 rovas. So if I'm saying that in a base core there could be a differential of up to a sixth, if you have 30 sa'as and every sa'a has 6 kav, how many kav are there in a base core? There are 180 kav in a base core. So if the difference from what was promised to what was delivered was, let's say, 25 kav, 28 kav, 29 kav, up to 30 kav, the deal stands. Whereas what we said in the last Mishnah was that if a person said, I'm selling to you a base core, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, if he said explicitly a little bit more, a little bit less, only if the difference was 7.5 kav out of a base core would the deal stand. But if the difference was more than that, the deal, you'd have to compensate. Here we're saying you don't have to start with compensation until it's a sixth, until it's 30 kav, 4 times more than what we were talking about yesterday. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. All right, so the Mishnah tells us, we're talking about different phrases of a seller. Our Mishnah, we spoke about a phrase of base core afar in the very beginning of the parak. This Mishnah talks about base core afar, and here it is, bisimanav uvametzarav, a base core afar, I'm selling to you. These are its boundaries and walls, and the guy agreed. So then there can be a differential of less than a sixth. See, Itmar, we learned, what about if the difference is a full sixth? So Rav Huna says, shtus, a full sixth, the deviation of full 30 kav, kipachos mishtus, it's like a little bit less than a sixth, and therefore the sale would stand the way it is. There'd be a mechila, because after all, the guy knew what he was getting, he saw it, he accepted it. Rav Huna says, no, shtus, if the differential is a sixth, Kioser Mishtus, that's like more than a sixth. Rav Huna says, Shtus Kepachos Mishtus, a sixth is like less than a sixth. Hachikamar. So this is the way to read it into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Pachos Mishtus, if the difference was less than a sixth, or a Shtus, or a sixth, Vigiu, then the deal is done. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Yoser Mishtus, if the differential was more than a sixth, Yenakis, so now you need to readjust the price because of the fact that there was more than a sixth difference than what he said, base core. More than a sixth different than a base core. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shtus, ki Yoser Mishtus, if the difference is a sixth, then also you have to adjust the price. We don't think that the deal stands the way it is. It's like more than a sixth difference. Hachikam is the way to read the Mishnah. Pachas Mishtus, if the difference is less than a sixth, higiyu, then the deal is done as is without a need for repayments or new adjustments. Ad Shtus, but if there was a difference of a sixth off of a base core, he had said base core, or right up till a sixth, namely more than a sixth, or Shtus, or a sixth, Bechlal, included in that, Yenakya. He needs to adjust the prices.
Right, do we know if he adjusts the full price like we said last time, or he just goes to the sixth?
Yeah, no, he adjusts the full price. So now, Meisve, they challenged Rav Huna from a brisa. So, till now we're talking about a case of sale, right? So the whole parak is dealing with sale. Now we're talking about a sale of base core. Afar b'simanav u'mitzara. We have another area of halacha where we talk about a sixth, not ona'a. It's in regards to Bezdin. Let's say a man dies. So in the Ksuba, the man has to promise to provide for his wife and his daughters if he died. So he died. So his sons inherit his wealth, but they need to provide for their father's widow and for their father's daughters. So let's say they're children, so they don't have the capability of selling the property that they inherited. So Bezdin comes, and Bezdin assesses how much the property is worth, and Bezdin sells that property in order to provide for the widow and the daughters. Let's say Bezdin made a mistake in their assessment. So if Bezdin made a mistake of less than a sixth, the property was worth 100, and Bezdin sold it for 90. So the sale stands. If Bezdin made a mistake for more than a sixth, if Bezdin made a mistake, it assessed it at 50 and sold it at 50 when it was worth 100, the sale doesn't stand. And if Bezdin made a mistake of a sixth in their assessment, we have an argument between the Chachamim and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in Masechet Ksubos. The Chachamim say the sale doesn't stand, and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says the sale stands. Okay, that's called Shoma Dayanim. The assessment, the evaluation of judges. So that's what our Gemara will now address. So Meisvei, again, we have an argument here in regards to a regular sale when the seller said, Beis kur afar ani mocha lecha. Bit. Simana vuva mitzarav, I'm selling you a beis kur of dirt. It's right here. These are its boundaries. This is what I'm selling to you. These are the borders. So we said if it's a sixth off of a beis kur, there's an argument between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says the deal has to be readjusted. And Rav Huna says, no, a sixth itself is accepted the same way. Less than a sixth, we said, was accepted because the buyer saw the boundaries before he got involved. But what about the following? Meisvei, I'll challenge you, we learned.
So someone takes the beis din to a beis din?
Yeah, the orphans do. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Maysville, challenge you, we learned. Bissimanov Mitzarav, if a seller identifies the field by landmarks and boundaries, and he said it was a base core, in addition to that identification. But now that we've measured it, we find Picheshtos, he underdelivered by a sixth. Ohosir Shtos, or he overdelivered with an extra sixth. Harehu Keshuma Dayanim. This is like the law of the Bezdin that makes a mistake in their evaluation. And he gyu, and the deal is done. The deal stands, and the field belongs to the buyer. Now, 1 second. The Gemara assumes, well, Shuma Dayanim, when we talk about the Bezdin making a mistake, presumably we're following the view of Chachamim. And the Chachamim say, Dishtus kiyosem ishtusuf. They make a mistake of a sixth, it's as bad as making a mistake of more than a sixth. And the whole deal is reversed. Now this Brisa said that the case of a seller who says, I'm selling to you beis kur afar in these boundaries is like Shuma Dayanim. So therefore, if in Shuma Dayanim it's reversed if it's a sixth off, so that means here too the law of a sixth is like the law of more than a sixth. Here the law of more than a sixth is not reversal. More than a sixth means a readjustment of the prices. So here a sixth also would mean a readjustment of the prices. So that would be a problem for the view of Rav Huna. Amalucha Rav Huna. So Rav Huna will answer you the following. If you're going to say that this brisa, such a strong brisa, you want to ask questions from it, read the whole brisa. Look at what the brisa says. Higiyu katani. The Brisa says it's like the assessment of judges, and the deal is done. The buyer is stuck with it. What do you mean the buyer is stuck with it? Your whole point was that if it was a sixth, it's like more than a sixth. Not that the buyer is stuck with it. It sounds like if it's a sixth, it's like less than a sixth. Just like in less than a sixth, we say, okay, that's what the deal. Sounds like here, more than a sixth. It sounds like here, a six is like less than a six. That's the deal. Ella, so rather you have to say like this. The Brisa saying, in one way, a sale of Beis Kur Afar in these boundaries is like Shuma Dayanim. Kishuma Dayanim, it's like when the court makes a mistake in their assessment, but Loka Shuma Dayanim, but it's also not like when the court makes a mistake. Kishuma dayanim l'shtus. It's like the assessment of a court, namely of a sixth. Just like when a court makes an assessment, we say that if they're off by less than a sixth, the assessment was fine. No adjustments. And if the assessment was off by more than a sixth, we say there's a problem now. And the way we deal with that problem is we unravel their entire assessment and sale. But okay, we say there's a problem with a sixth, unlike the case of a man who says, I'm selling to you a base core, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, when we say there's a problem once it's more than 1/24th. Not that there's a problem only once there's a sixth of a problem. Once there's 1/24th extra, there is a problem. But, on the other hand, this case of a sale of a base core afar within its boundaries is really not like the mistakes of a court in their assessment and their subsequent selling. When they make a mistake of a sixth or more, but el mekach, the deal is reneged. But over here, even if there was a mistake of more than a sixth, higiyu, the deal. So over there, if there was a mistake of a sixth, the deal is voided. But over here, higiyu, if the deviation is only a sixth, the buyer does acquire it without an adjustment. So the Braisa is like Rav Huna, that a sixth does get acquired by the buyer.
Meaning?
You don't have to do anything. It was a sixth off, so fine. It's a sixth off, it's okay. The buyer is still stuck with it. He doesn't get any money back because he got a sixth less than what he was promised.
I mean, he doesn't have to, but if he wants to, he could, right?
Oh, if there was an over-delivery and he wanted, yeah, of course, he always could.
So he has a choice of adjustments or refund. Am I right that way?
No. We're saying
if it's shorter than 1/6 of the
1/6 less than a base core.
Okay, so he has a choice.
So no. According to Rav Huna, nothing. That's it. He's stuck with it. According to Rav Yehuda, he's entitled to get a refund of a sixth.
Okay. Now which one is halacha?
We might buy it.
Which one has halacha? Halacha is like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna just answered this price. Halacha is like Rav Huna. If it's more than a sixth, then he gets a refund.
But still, it's great. Right? It's never like a price fraud by real estate, I think.
Well, this is not an issue of price fraud. This is an issue of he didn't deliver what he promised.
He doesn't just make restitution?
He makes restitution.
Right, correct.
Makes
so
restitution.
Rav Huna's idea is if you're a shmaki and you made a mistake in your measurement, you deserve to.
He might get stuck with it. After all, I mean, the buyer saw it. He saw what he was getting. The seller said, I'm selling you this field within these fences. He saw. He saw. So again, the Gemara had asked from a Braisa, where the Braisa links the law of Shuma Dayanim to our Mishnah's law of a person who says, I'm selling a base core afar within these boundaries. So just like in Shuma Dayanim, a sixth causes a reversal, so too in selling a base core afar within these boundaries, if there's a difference of a sixth, there should have to be a readjustment of price. So Rav Huna said, no, not necessarily. The price actually goes on and says that the deal is done, the deal works. So actually the way to read the price is like this, that the same way in Shuma Dayanim, once there's a sixth, we have a problem. The same thing is true here, that in regards to a guy who says, I'm selling you a base kur afar, within these boundaries, if there's a difference of more than a sixth, there's a problem. More than a sixth, there's a problem of having to have a readjustment of price. But if it's a sixth, then no, we don't have to have a readjustment of price. The deal stands the same way a sixth would stand in regards to Shuma Dayanim, a sixth would stand in regards to price. It's just the point is that we're dealing with sixes and we're not dealing with 1/24ths. That's the point of the braisa. Look to Shuma Dayanim, where there also the issue is a sixth. And here also the issue is a sixth. But it's not to say that a sixth is like more than a sixth. On the contrary, a sixth is like less than a sixth, which is the view of Rav Huna.
So Rabbi, in today's business, when they want to do appraisal on a piece of property,
yeah,
they use one appraiser or they use three?
Three, we saw that earlier. He used three.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Now a story. Rav Papa Zavin Ara Me'ahu Gavra. Rav Papa bought land from a person. Amar Le, the man had promised that Havya Esrin Grivi Mishre. It was 20 measures in size. The Lo Avari, then when they measured it, it's only Chamisri, it's only 15. Asla Kamida Abayis. Papa went to Abayis. It's more than a six, it's a quarter off. Amar Le, he said, sorry, Savrit Vakibilt. You were standing there, you saw it, you accepted it, you're stuck with it. If it's less than a sixth off, this deal is done. Adstus, if it's more than a sixth off, till a sixth, Yanaki, you readjust the price. Here it's much more than a sixth, it's a quarter. Let them readjust the price. So Hani Mili, when do we say you readjust the price? Hechad lo kimla begave. If the buyer wasn't sure about what he was getting. Aval hechad, but in this case, the kimla begave, the buyer knew exactly what he was getting. So that was it. He stuck with it. What do you mean he stuck with it? But the seller said to him it was 20 and it's really 15. But the seller told him it's 20 measures. So we know what he means. Since the buyer is an expert and knows what this field is, when the seller says 20, what he means is Esrin. It's 15, which is as good as 20. And the buyer is stuck. All right. That concludes the discussion about sixth and buying and a seller, not exactly being straightforward in terms of what he was going to deliver. So now we get on to a discussion which is going to sort of connect us a little bit to the next parak. The next parak, Parak Yesh Nochlin, is again a very lengthy parak, 30 daf, like Cheska Sabatim, and it deals all about inheritance. So Tanya went to the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi said, let's say a father dies and he leaves land. So initially the business continues the way the father had it. Now the brothers want to divide up. So let's say they're dividing by means of a lottery. The two brothers, they split the field into half. They say, okay, this lottery, when we pick it, that means that the right field goes to Yaakov. And then the left field goes to Yehuda. So once the goral goes up, once the lottery is pulled, le'echem, and for one of them, kanukulam, so everybody now acquires their portions. We don't require them to do an act of chazaka to acquire their portion. The lottery itself makes the deal done. My time, what's the source that a lottery is enough to anchor a deal? Amar Belazar, kitchilas Eretz Yisrael, because that's the way the land of Israel was divided by Yehoshua. So one second, matchila begoral, afkan begoral, just like over there it was with a lottery, so too here it's with a lottery. So Gemara says, one second, imala halan bekalfi v'urim v'tumim, but there was where you had, the special lottery pieces, there was a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol was wearing the Choshen had in it the special pieces of paper with God's name, so maybe that's when a lottery works, afkan bekalfi v'urim v'tumim. A lottery will work to create an inheritance if you have a Kohen Gadol and an Urim V'tumim. So I'm Rav Ashi explained, you're right, we don't have an Urim V'tumim, so we're not exactly like the lottery of the way the land of Israel was divided. But Bahi Anna, with that joy, with that pleasure, to Katsaiti Lahadadi, that they're listening to each other, Gamri Umakni Lahadadi, they are so fully happy that they are agreeing to transfer ownership to each other. They don't want to be a partnership anymore, the brothers. They want to break up. So they're each so happy that the other one's listening. So the joy that Yehuda's listening and he's splitting up with Yaakov is so deep that once we have a sign what Yaakov's portion is by a lot, we pick a lottery which says, okay, this part of the field now belongs to Yaakov. Yehuda fully agrees, he's makne, and Yaakov fully agrees, Yaakov is makne to Yehuda, whatever portions he has on the other side of the field, Yehuda is makne to Yaakov, whatever portions he has in Yaakov's side of the field, and they agree to the lottery because of the deep hana, the deep pleasure that they're listening to each other.
Thanks to their wives.
So now we're up to the next sugya, which is going to deal with the question of, do we say that, okay, we'll see in a second. See, it's what we learned. Shnei achim shechalku. Let's say there's property of father. The father left two hotels. Actually, he left three hotels, let's say. So the two brothers divide it. One brother takes a hotel and a half. Another brother takes another hotel and a half. Uvala and achim rudina sayam. And now a third brother shows up. So now what do you do? Maybe they knew, but they pretended he wasn't around. They thought he died.
From a different wife.
Yeah, it could be another wife. They thought he died. They didn't know about him. So now there's a third brother. So Rav Amar Batla Machlokas. So Rav says, all right, we need to go back to square one. You know what? They need to put all the properties back into a fund, into a single place. Now take pieces of lot, you know, take lottery pieces and divide it up. Shmuel says, no. Whatever Yaakov got, Yaakov was happy with this amount. This is what was given to him. And Yehuda was happy with the amount he got. So they pull out of what they got to create a third portion. Shmuel Amar Mekamtzin, they just contract. So let's say Yaakov has a hotel and a half. He gives half the hotel to the third brother. Yehuda has a hotel and a half. He gives the half of the hotel he has to the third brother. Now each has a hotel. So Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, Rav, Damar Batla Machlokas. According to Rav, who says that if a third brother shows up, we reverse the inheritance, the whole judgment of the courts before are annulled. Al Mahadar Dina. Once you have new data, so you reverse the whole court case. So you void the deal, right? And you start again from scratch. Elamayata, so if this is the case, what about the following? Hani betrayed the kaimi. Let's say you have three partners. Vazo betrayed minayu palug. And two of them decided to break up the partnership. And they turned it into three portions. Hachanami de batla machlokas. Could the third partner come and say, sorry, I don't like the way you divided it. So then now the whole thing will go back to square one. Of course not. So then why with brothers did Rav say, once the third brother comes, you tear it all up? Gemara says, one second, Rav Nachman said, Haki Hashta, what's the comparison? Awesome, in the case of two out of the three partners, Nechisi Adai to the Beit Klasam Eikara. They went from the very beginning to divide the partnership into three parts. Okay, just the third guy didn't know of it. He didn't agree with it. But Hachabot over here, they didn't think that there was a third brother. Lo Nechisi Adai to the Beit Klasam Eikara. They didn't think there was a third brother. They thought there was only two brothers. So now that they find out new data that there is a third brother, so now you have to go back to square one. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, L'Shmuel Damar Mekamtzin, according to Shmuel, who says that the two brothers now, you know, each contract their portions to create a third portion for the third brother. L'Memer D'Kam Dina, is that to say that when you have a judgment, even though now you find out that the data wasn't really right, whatever you could leave, you do leave. I have a Rav and Shmuel. I mean, Tarvai. What about Rav and Shmuel? They both say the following: Kur b'shloshim ani morchalacha. A man says, "I'm selling to you a kur of grain for 30 sa'." So that's one big deal. Therefore, yachal avzavafil b'sa'achrona. Even before the last sa' is delivered, he can change his mind if the prices shift. Kur b'shloshim sa' b'sela ani morchalacha. But if he said both, a kur of grain for 30. And every sa'ah for a sela, so it's unclear whether he's saying that there's one big deal or 30 smaller deals. Rishon, rishon, kana. So every little bit is acquired. Now one second. Why is every little bit acquired by the... So in the first case where he said, I'm selling to you 30 sa'ah, one big deal, but even after 29 were delivered, he can change his mind. Why don't we say... Come Dina, the deal should stand. So what is the difference? Awesome. when he says, I'm selling to you 30 sah for 30, so nobody wants there to be a deal before they get to completion, because maybe the prices will go down, so then the buyer wants to be able to renege. Maybe the prices will go up, then the seller wants to renege. So there, it's to help them to say the deal's not done until the full 30 were delivered. But over here, in regards to partners who split up or an inheritance, it doesn't help them to say that they can't renege. And therefore, they want to say, whatever we got, we want to hold on to and not have to go back to square one now that there's new data. Yeah, we'll get to that next paragraph.